You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
New article out about the Kawhi Leonard timeline for his signing with the Clippers. And did Magic Johnson hurt the Lakers?
And with all this player movement and player empowerment, what's going to happen to the collective bargaining agreement here at the NBA?
It is the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA. Let's go. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA, the daily podcast covering everything you want to know around the association, available on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts from. On Wednesday, I'm Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and the host of Locked On Pelicans.
And I am John Corrales, at Reds Army underscore John on Twitter, and I co-host the Locked On Celtics podcast.
So, John, it's supposed to be a dead period here in the NBA. We're in the middle of July. Nothing's going on except this offseason is never, ever going to stop. And The Athletic did a really good deep dive on the timeline for Kawhi Leonard signing with the Los Angeles Clippers with the trade for Paul George. Locked On contributor Sam Amick contributed to the report with others as well. This was really good to kind of read and figure out the timeline of what went on and to maybe make some sense of it, because there was a lot of, I don't know, stuff on Twitter about what was happening, who was quaking in their boots about all of this. But it's pretty straightforward and nothing that we didn't know, except for maybe the part where Magic Johnson hurt the Los Angeles Lakers. So we get to make fun of the Lakers. We get to make fun of Magic. But I'm going to pose a question to you here.
All right.
At what point does Magic actually become a problem for the Los Angeles Lakers?
You're asking that question as if it hasn't happened already.
Like, yeah, that's the actual answer, probably.
I mean, hasn't Magic done enough damage to the Lakers? The abrupt departure, the circus around that, going on to ESPN, just crapping all over Rob Pelinka, all of this stuff. And now this Magic opening his mouth and ruining, theoretically, according to these guys on The Athletic, the pursuit of Kawhi Leonard. This is just another step in the saga of Magic Johnson, the Lakers quote unquote executive, tangential executive, whatever the hell he is. Like, they have just opened up this Pandora's box with Magic, and it's just, you can't put it back in. The only way is to completely disavow themselves from Magic,
which they're not going to do.
They're never going to do. He is that franchise.
He's either the, and you could pick either one, and this is a debate for another day. He's either the best or second best Laker of all time. I think that's fair to say. And
sure,
he's an ambassador. He's one of the more prominent people associated with this team. You can't just disavow him. But the time he started becoming a problem was probably when all of the stories about what he was doing as their president of basketball operations started to come out. This is a guy, and the Lakers, I think, trust that brand and valued the Lakers family and Lakers brand so much that it's going to start, it's already been kind of backfiring on him, and you're really seeing it here. You know, he went out after he quit before the end of the season and then made the talk show rounds trashing Jeannie Buss, kind of, trashing Rob Pelinka, and ultimately just kind of trashing the organization. And Jeannie Buss comes out and thanks him for his service and his time spent working for the team and kind of stands by him saying, yeah, despite all of this, we're going to still keep using him. That's not, like, I get it in the moment, but at a certain point, this is causing more issues. So the stuff in the Kawhi Leonard article, and you really should read it and subscribe to The Athletic, basically says he wanted everything to be quiet. He had a call with Magic, and then Magic basically went out and talked about their call. And it says in there that was the moment that basically Kawhi shut the book on the Lakers. Everyone knew that the stuff with Kawhi had to be quiet. Like, this is, everyone was an NBA insider when it came to that. And this guy just couldn't do it, and maybe, and who knows whether this is true or not, it cost the Lakers Kawhi Leonard.
Which, I mean, after everything that he did for Lakers fans, that's just got to be the ultimate kick in the crotch there. Because, I mean, Magic is the legend. Like, he's the guy. Like, he is Dr. Buss's guy, and probably why Jeannie Buss has such an affinity for him. She has to be criticized for how she's handling this team. The reliance on former Lakers, and we've said it, other people have said it, it's all over the place. It's a common refrain now. The Lakers are being run like a family business, which they are in some respects, but they are also a multi-billion dollar flagship entity in the NBA cartel, and they need to be run as such if they're going to be successful and if they're going to be good partners to the rest of the league. I don't think their association with Magic Johnson, I think it was a mistake, obviously. It's been proven to be a mistake. And this kind of satellite association with the team now, it's just problematic. Aside from this specific thing, you have the league that now has to get involved and say, hey, look, Magic just quit, but you can't have a guy just quit so he can legally tamper. Like, that's that
right, which is like
look
what it
good.
Was. And the team lets him do this, and they're almost enabling it too, I think.
I think so. Like, they're not going to say, don't talk to this guy if it's going to help us. Because I really do think that Jeannie Buss still thinks Magic Johnson can help the Lakers. And maybe he can in other circumstances. Kawhi is a very unique circumstance where he demands this kind of closed-lipped policy. So they might still think, like, hey, he could still get us other players. This is a one-off, and Kawhi's just a weird dude. But this satellite association, the NBA doesn't like it. It doesn't look good. The optics are bad. Having Magic come out and still kind of, quote-unquote, work for the Lakers, but now he's free to say whatever he wants and recruit whomever he wants publicly, that's a big problem. And I just don't think it's going to sit well with the league and the rest of the owners if this continues, especially if this continues and it ends up benefiting the Lakers. No other team has this kind of thing except for maybe Drake. Like, that's the
maybe.
Only other
yeah.
thing. Yeah, you know? So it's a weird thing, and it just for the betterment of the Lakers and for the betterment of their relationship with the rest of the NBA, they need to fix that relationship. They need to disassociate themselves from Magic in a business sense. They can't be like, he's an ambassador for us. They just have to, like, separate themselves somehow.
Yeah, they need to put out a statement saying basically they love him, but he does not officially represent the Los Angeles Lakers in any capacity. They don't condone anything he does. They're not disagreeing with anything he does and throwing that under the bus. But that's the only way to do it. And I like what you're saying, where the rest of the league and the owners aren't going to like this. My initial reaction was, well, it cost him Kawhi Leonard. Maybe the rest of the league loves this with
yeah.
how it's going. But no, but one day it will work out in their favor. He did help get them LeBron James after all. So it's not like his tenure there was a complete disaster, you know, when you get that guy to sign with your team. So this, you know, hasn't worked so far, but it might work in the future eventually. And that could be an issue.
Let's throw this hypothetical out there, because this is going to be the thing in a couple of years with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Here go the Lakers claiming his brother Kostas on off of waivers. So now they've got one of the Antetokounmpo brothers. They've got a conduit. They've got a direct line to Giannis, going to be the biggest free agent possibly in 2 years. So they've got that inside track for now, okay? That's fine. That's legal. There's nothing you can do about that. He's a player, and he wants to play, so they sign him. Now you add to that, what if Magic is out there and publicly recruiting Giannis Antetokounmpo? Like, what? How does that work with the rest of the league? How does that fly with the rest of the league? Because now you've got the Lakers, who may actually have some interest in Kostas to go play, but they also are trying to impress upon him, hey, look at this great organization, and have him go talk to his brother and be like, yeah, man, the Lakers, they're top notch, and have plant that seed. And now here comes Magic, talk shows, wherever, anywhere he can go, talking up Giannis, man, this guy would be amazing in LA. Think about, Like, he's doing all this in Milwaukee. Imagine if we can get him in L.A., blah, 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 blah. And no other team has that ability to sow that seed to now essentially be fertilizer for the seed that was planted before. And who knows what happens? That's the part that the rest of the league is going to really have a problem with.
And I think that's a good segue to the next two segments that we're going to do here on Locked On NBA. But before, of course, we get to that, make sure you subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast. It's deep in the offseason. We're still here with you every single day covering all the topics you want to know. There's no breaks right now when it comes to the NBA. We're not taking any when other podcasts aren't around. So wherever you get your podcast from, subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast. So we're discussing a lot of things with the CBA, previously talking about Magic Johnson, his relationship to the Lakers, how it cost him Kawhi, how there's some weird kind of tampering going on with everything. But the NBA is looking at this, and it's clear that this offseason is going to be the catalyst for some sort of change. Whatever that kind of ends up in is still a little bit murky. John, you want to summarize what was in the ESPN article written by Zach Lowe, kind of diving into this?
Well, it was a conversation at in Las Vegas where basically it's their board of governors. They're calling owners governors now. But all of the owners got together and expressed their discontent for how things went over the course of the summer. And they're discussing the different possibilities of opening the free agency window to right after the finals or some other aspects of that, allowing teams to talk to prospective free agents earlier to avoid some of this tampering stuff. There's also some discussion in there about we may have to create rules and enforce rules, talking about servers and cell phones and possibly confiscating these devices and the servers to kind of figure out who did what. And more of a threat than anything. But there are a lot of these kind of allegations of tampering to beyond the normal acceptable level of tampering that the league and the owners are really trying to hammer down and figure out.
Yeah, so they're looking to kind of figure out what they can do because I think they kind of looked at this off season and realized this isn't really the way we want to go and do this. I think this is also partially the owners trying to get back some control, but there's obviously tampering going on. We all know this. It's kind of accepted, and the league doesn't really seem to care that much because it's kind of hard to enforce a lot of this. And they said, if you want us to enforce things, really truly enforce things, we probably can find a way. But it's going to be returning over your computer servers and
right.
cell phones. And in the article, it's not saying that like a threat. It was just, this is what would have to happen. And are you all comfortable with this? And these owners maybe need to kind of take a good long look in the mirror and figure out if they are. There's easy solutions to a lot of this, I think. And they talk about it in there. Just move free agency before the draft. Let teams start talking to free agents at the onset or at the end of the NBA finals. A lot of the way the current structure is serves two purposes. It's one so that the league new year starts on July 1, so that the league can spend some time after the finals figuring out what the actual salary cap number is, because it's that BRI number that's based off of the money the finals bring in. Longer finals, more money, higher salary cap, but they've got to calculate all of that. And then I think the moratorium is also partially in place just for teams to kind of get stuff done and then figure out how they need to structure it so that it works under the salary cap. And it's not like you can just do one day and one the next day. Maybe you get one done first, but it's kind of put on the back end and you structure the deals in an order differently. And that's more or less kind of, in my opinion, at least, what the moratorium serves. There's ways to, I don't know, figure it out a little, make it simpler. That just makes more sense. But if you can't get the cap numbers really quickly, it's also tough to kind of make this happen right away.
Yeah, there has to be some balancing act between calculating all of the figures. And it takes a long time. This isn't just balancing a checkbook. It takes a long time to figure out the figures. So that's the biggest challenge. I don't think the current system is ready or was made for today's climate. This is my big thing. There are two factors at play here, Jake. One, let's start with this as it pertains to the communication like we've been talking about. Technology is just too, it's too easy to talk and hide things. You know, not only do you get to go and have an agent talk to a front office at the combine and, oh, you happen to represent Al Horford, you represent this rookie. Well, we, the Sixers, are going to talk to, let us know about Al Horford because we think we have a good offer for you and so on and so forth. But then after that, you can continue surreptitiously texting through other apps, things, you know, there are, how many apps have disappearing features?
It is not hard to hide communications in 2019, and it's probably only going to be even easier going forward.
Absolutely. So you gotta fix that. You have to fix the system where it's hard to police. Like, I'm an agent, you're an owner, and you come up to me and you want to ask about, you just kind of happen to have a conversation about one of my free agent players coming up, but we're talking about drafting your rookie. Like, it's hard to police that. You can't really do that. But it's also like, that's not where all of the negotiating gets done. That's where seeds are planted, but then communication happens afterwards. My proposal would be a sort of centralized sort of communication portal, for lack of a better term, just some sort of Slack type thing where the NBA can monitor the conversations. Even if they have like some of these side conversations, all of this conversation, the official conversation, has to happen between the two sides on this thing. It's got all the history there. It's monitored. NBA has access to it. So this way, when you look back, like, if it's obvious to say, like, hey, hi, Al Horford, we want to offer you this much money. Oh, okay. Boom. Done. Like, that's obviously fake. Like, you got to have like real conversations between these sides. I don't know exactly how that goes, but there's got to be some sort of way to monitor these conversations. So at least there's some sort of history to appease everybody and be like, well, look, we've gone through this and we have this transcript, whatever, it happened on these days. And that at least slows down the stuff that was bothersome to everybody else, where communications happened well before June 30th. And it was clear when it was announced 2 days before where free agents were going to go.
Yeah, no, I think that's one way to do it. Again, a lot of it is just the policing is hard. Like, it's very difficult. Like, there's not a good way to do it. And, you know, we all joke that there, you know, players tamper left and right, and they do. And there's things out there in the CBA that they'll let the NBA enforce it, and they choose not to because I guess they kind of see it as a bit of a slippery slope. So it's just one of those things where this is messy and complicated and something that's going to need to be incremental to try and kind of fix this. So let's take a quick break here because I want to point out something that maybe exacerbates all of this coming up here in the next segment. Again, before we do that, again, subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get your podcast from. Here with you Monday through Friday, breaking down all of the biggest stories. And there's a lot right now. So wherever you get your podcast from, hit that subscribe button to Locked On NBA. So we're discussing the CBA, the offseason, and some of the proposed changes going in for the NBA and maybe our takes on how we can kind of fix this. And John, you pointed out that very good one of maybe just monitor all communication. Like, if people are going to act, it's kind of the way, like, if people are going to act like a little kid, you treat them like a little kid.
Sure.
And that's kind of a way to go about it. If you're all going to tamper, we're just going to monitor everything. Is that what you all want? Or are you comfortable letting some of the tampering go? And if, you know, maybe you need to make this where instead of trying to investigate and find tampering, which, by the way, the league is apparently doing like a big sweeping investigation where they're going to be contacting agents and players and all of that. No one's going to tell on anybody. This isn't going to turn into anything meaningful. And rather than punishing the tampering that goes on, you need to invent a new system where there's just no tampering in general. You're looking at the end result rather than the process, right?
Yes.
The like new that's system, the crux of this, right?
I and that goes to my second point when I said there were two points. We need a new system because, and I put a Twitter thread out on this, there's too much money in the NBA now.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah, I it's just, it's, and I say too much like it, like it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. The players and the owner, like, there's money coming in, and it's great. Like, this is your goal. You want this money to come in, and they're splitting billions of dollars. I'm not going to try to take money away from anybody. However, the salary cap this upcoming season is $109 million. Okay? The salary, the when the lockout happened in 2011, and they just extended that contract. So we're still on the same contract that was negotiated in 2011. The salary cap for the 2011-12 season was $58 million. Okay? So we are now at almost literally twice that, and we will be at twice that soon. So they don't know how to handle this level of financial independence. And when you talk about things like players, recruiting players, that's possible in part because there's so much money that these players are now in complete power. And also, they don't care about losing a few million here or there because they make so much. How many players have you experienced it yourself?
I was going to say, Anthony Davis is basically giving up, what, $80 million, $40 million, something like that. It's not even a few million. It's almost $100 million because they're making so much that, you know what, to get to another team and to end up in another place, even if it means they're tampering themselves or getting their agent to tamper or do things that are against the rules, and Rich Paul and AD were fined $50,000, which is nothing, by the way, to those guys. They'll do it because they don't care. He's going to make so much money when he signs another deal with LA. And despite his more recent comments, he's re-signing with the Lakers next offseason. Let's not pretend here that it doesn't matter. And they don't care. They're going to do this. It's like you said, getting fined $50,000 in the NBA today, who cares?
Right.
The players don't care. When you break it down on like a per minute basis, that was like the equivalent of something like $5 to you or I. So, AD will take that fine every day of the week. You think Rich Paul isn't excited that he found out it's only $50,000 to tamper and to publicly make a trade request? He's thrilled that he kind of figured out the number. So a lot of it is that the salary cap in from 05 to 2014, so about a full decade, this is according to the ESPN Zach Lowe article, jumped up from $49.5 million to $58.6 million. Not a significant jump there, not even $10 million. And then it basically stayed at $58 million for six seasons. Now we're at $109 million.
Right.
That is a lot of money.
Think about this. In 2011, again, this is when the CBA, the current CBA, was ratified. You had four players making $20 million or more. Rashard Lewis, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Kobe Bryant. Okay? This season, you have 42 players making $20 million or more. And beyond that, you have 14 making $30 million or more. And you have one, Steph Curry, who's going to make $40 million. So $40 million for Steph Curry this year. You go back to 2002, the 2002-2003 season, $40,271,000 was the salary cap. Steph Curry, this upcoming season, is making $40,000 less than the 2002-2003 salary cap number. That's how much money has flooded the NBA.
Yeah, it's wild. So going back to the article and some of the changes here, let's just throw out some of like the bullet points that are kind of at the end of this and see if we agree or disagree here. So possibility of allowing teams to talk to free agents and their representatives immediately after the end of the finals. Good for a new system or bad?
I think it's fine.
It's
fine. It's fine. It's not perfect. There's no perfect solution.
No. And again, if they're stuck on making the start with the new league year, there's an issue with all of that. So, they said maybe a more extreme version of this would be free agency signings and all before the draft. I think that makes the most sense. Also, that would eliminate the issues of players walking across the draft stage, putting on a hat and a jersey
yes.
for a team that they're not going to play on. And what should be, at that point in time, the happiest day of their lives.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
Just weird.
I agree wholeheartedly. You're robbing these kids. You're making them look stupid. I agree.
Yeah, so I think those are kind of the two big things, and maybe they said just opening it up where teams can have more talks with agents throughout the season or just a longer period of time. That's where I think things get a little bit dicey. Like, I don't know if I like the idea of teams reaching out to an agent being like, hey, I know the middle of it's January. Is your guy maybe interested in coming to the team at the end of the year and for the start of next season? I do have a bit of an issue with that one, but maybe you can police it well with your idea of, I don't know, like a monitored chat system or something.
Maybe, but I go back to the money thing because I think that's the central part of this. If the money doesn't matter, the tampering is going to happen, especially player to player, because they could just go do whatever they want. Okay. And the money is so huge that every team now is worth $1 billion, no matter what. And the more you win, you increase the value of your investment here. There are teams worth $2 billion more than that. So if the money doesn't matter, what matters? Incentives matter. I think there has to be, I think, a renewed focus on, what incentives can players get from their current teams that make them more likely to say, you know what? I'm good. I like it here. And I don't know what that answer is, but I think the NBA really needs an outside person, people, group, somebody that has no real association with the league. Give this a fresh look to say, look, there's so much money here. The system, the CBA is built on an old foundation. Give us a fresh perspective on this. And I do think that giving a player the Supermax, like they don't care. Well, what incentives can you give a player to make him care, to make a Kevin Durant stay in OKC and say, and things that maybe aren't legal in the CBA now, make them legal, that allow a team to say, okay, we're going to incentivize this guy to stay beyond the money that he can make. Again, I don't know what that answer is, but something creative has to happen. So I think the tampering is a symptom of a bigger problem. You can try to fix the tampering, fine, but if you fix the system and allow players to feel better about staying where they are, then the tampering part of it kind of starts to dissipate on its own.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's what I said. If you fine for tampering, like you're not fixing the actual issue. That's the end
right.
result. And it's got to be, it's a process driven thing. I don't want to use that phrase, but it's a system system driven thing. And I fully agree with you all of this. Also, as we're starting to see, teams seem to be making better front office hires than ever before. I think that's kind of safe to say, not entirely, but for the most part, you're seeing a lot of teams that haven't been run well start to become run well. And I think ultimately maybe that fixes a lot of this from players wanting to force their way out. And if you're really happy with the team and the organization that they've built there, maybe that encourages you to stay where you are versus, you know, the grass is always greener type of thing. So it's intriguing. I think everyone was kind of a little bit frustrated and we kind of hit that tipping point with this offseason. So it's really good to see that the NBA is, you know, at least proactively looking at this and not just happy with all the attention that they've gotten. And they've gotten a lot this offseason with all the player movement. Everyone can't wait for the season to start. The interest is probably at an all-time high because of all of this. And they're not just going to be complacent with that. And they're going to try and figure out a situation that makes a whole lot more sense for everybody. So overall, good job, NBA. Let's make a few changes. But this was really fun overall this offseason, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was fun. The casual fan loves having, I think, this kind of reset in the NBA. So I do think it's fun. My only fear is that all of this player movement kind of takes away the, like, I'm old enough where I remember players staying with their teams forever. So you're missing that element. I think going kind of back to that while still having some level of player movement, like, there's a happy medium there. But this offseason was definitely fun.
Yeah. So look, Tim Duncan just is back now with the Spurs. So maybe we'll see more of that. Maybe that's kind of the catalyst for everything. And people are going to start making some changes. So I think that's a good place as any to wrap up the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA. Thank you all very much for listening. As always, on Wednesdays, I'm your co-host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast.
And I'm John Corrales, at Reds_Army_John on Twitter, and I am the co-host of the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back with you all next week.